Before we start, Danielle and I just want to remind you that we have a very special 4th of July show for Bitch Sesh that is live. As you know, we've been having so much fun with these live shows. They are absolutely insane. They involve a ton of audience participation with you all getting to tell us in real time what you like and don't like about us. It feels really, really rewarding. We have so many special surprises and special guests coming. The shows really are so fun and feel like we're all together. The show is June 24th, Thursday, 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 East Coast time. We hope you join us. It's truly going to be so much fun. Special guests will be announced this week. Grab your ticket. God bless America. Hi, Danielle.
Hello, Casey. So tell us how your time was.
It was great. You know, as everybody's so well aware, I did a lot of press for the book, which I'm just so happy. And thank you all for helping me make it a New York Times bestseller.
Bestseller. I mean, this is huge.
Slot 15, Danielle. I was the last slot. And how did that felt so right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hear you on that. Not about you, but just in terms of like, I'm always getting in under the wire.
Exactly. Like, that's who I am. Is like, it's like side door, back door. Like, it's like I made it, but just fucking barely. But I'll take it.
By the skin of your teeth. And that's a comfortable position for me as well. So I understand it's like.
Yes. Like, it's where I belong, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm just happy to be invited to the party is how I feel.
That's right. My editor said something that did make me laugh dead serious. She was just like, well, look, no one can ever take this from you. Like, you are a New York Times bestseller. This will be the first line of your obituary. I was like, oh.
She's ready to get you out the door real quick.
She wants to get me out to sell more books. That's all they fucking care about.
They do posthumously. It is true that you will sell more books. I'm just putting that out there.
All my career is about is getting more stuff on that obit.
Yeah. I mean, so far I have, obviously, co-host of Bitch Sesh.
Of course.
Writer of Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2. I mean, what more needs to be said about
host
me?
Host of Red Towel Talk.
Red Towel Talk. Important host of Red Towel Talk. And I guess somewhere in there, mother and wife.
Yeah. Mother, wife, friend.
But I mean, obviously, we know my tops and yours will be New York Times bestseller. I think if you just put on your gravestone, if that's how you want to leave this earth, just 15.
Oh.
And, you know, just the number 15.
Right, just 15, and no one will know what that means but you, but maybe you'll outlive me. Let's hope.
Yeah, I'm hoping to tell my story. Shout it from the rooftop.
But it's so good to be back. I mean, I want to talk about this more with our guest, Danielle, but yesterday I did what can only be described as an old school, like, marathon binge of Housewives. I was so behind.
Uh-huh. How was it for you?
It was fucking fantastic, Danielle.
What a day. I was jealous of your day because you would be, you know, texting me every once in a while, like you were sort of like diving in. And I was like, what a day she's having. What a life. I mean,
to be able to say to my family with a straight face, like, I have to go in the other room and work and get to meet Kathy Hilton.
Mm.
Danielle? Mm.
Really meet her. We've all known her, but now we know her.
Thank you, Danielle. My feelings for Kathy Hilton, AKA Lil Kathy, are unrivaled. Unrivaled. Mm. Now, I know you've all met her. And so it's like annoying when, like, then it's like, oh, I just met Kathy, but I did. And I can't change that fact.
But I feel like we keep meeting her. Like, it's an onion being revealed and revealed and revealed. You know what
but
I mean?
It's not an onion where you're like, oh, ooh, ooh. It's like, oh.
Thus far. Thus far.
It's like, we don't know what that is.
I mean, it is.
She is giving my summer a lift.
Mm-hmm. Talk about hot girl summer.
Hot girl summer. Wet hot American summer. You know,
Hot Kathy summer.
Hot Kathy summer. They say don't judge a book by its cover. And we know that phrase and we just, no one cares about it. And please do judge my book by my cover.
Because it's a great cover. Great cover.
It's a great cover. 15. But with Kathy, I'll admit, here's what I thought we were getting. I thought we were getting a Martha Stewart finger wagging, type A, keeping everybody's ass in line, hard charging Big Kathy.
The opposite. The opposite.
No.
Just this girl just wants to have fun. I mean, when they said a sentence I've never, when Crystal said I, a sentence I never thought would be uttered, Kathy's a real prankster.
And I don't mean George Clooney.
No,
and I don't
better.
Mean Matt Damon.
No, better.
Move aside, George. We're sick of hearing about your dumb antics on set. It's all about Kath.
All about Kath.
Her life-affirming t-shirts. Always in a new t-shirt that's like, be nice.
I love
okay.
her.
Okay, we can't even get into Kath because I love her. I'm crying. I love her so much. All to say, Danielle, I really had to dive back in, and it was kind of nice because I know you had done the podcast. We were off a week.
Yeah.
I didn't take as many notes as I normally do, which is normally just so many notes.
Sometimes it's nice to just let it wash up.
Yes, everyone. We do prepare for this.
Of course we do. We are students of the genre. What are we going to do? Not take notes. But sometimes it is nice to let it just wash over you. I do enjoy sometimes just letting it wash over me and then coming to the red towel with all new like thoughts, like just off the cuff.
That's right. And it kind of taking a break. See, I like to do this. Everyone was like, I can't believe you weren't just dying to watch Beverly Hills. And I said, I was. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I knew I wanted to be unhurried, unrushed. You know what? I needed to be in the right frame of mind and to just like take a break from your friends. It's like when you reunite again, you just forgot how much you love them.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. It was really nice.
I mean, I've never felt so invigorated by Beverly Hills. It's been years, years. It's been since The Junk Boat, I feel like, that I have not felt this way.
We've got a lot coming down the pike. We just saw that ABC is putting out a quote-unquote documentary called The Housewife and the Hustler about Erica and Mr. Girardi. Danielle, they got eyewitnesses, okay?
Who do they have?
This two people that are going to speak to this. Who else? But Danielle Staub and Dana Wilkie.
Two people that do not know the Girardis at all. I assume have no contact.
But I'd like to hear from them on this.
They rushed to the press. Like the minute they called ABC and were like, how can I get involved? Dana Wilkie was like, I'll sell my soul and my $80,000 sunglasses just to get onto this show. Anything to be seen and to be heard. I mean, just right from the horse's mouth. It's great.
It's so good. But, you know, Danielle, speaking of celebs.
Horses' mouths.
Speaking of horses' mouths, I have had the pleasure, while I haven't been with you guys, I do feel like I've still been doing my reporting and I've been on the beat.
Always.
Always. Never not working for you all.
Yes.
I have worked with two incredible co-stars.
Please mention them.
Please no tagging, you little motherfuckers.
No, most of you have been fantastic, but there's one or two you little sneakers, little sneaks.
You little stinkers.
Yeah, stop it. We want to have fun here.
I don't want anyone to know I'm talking about them.
No, we want to talk behind people's back as God intended.
Thank you, Danielle. So I did this show for the whole like last 6 months called The Shrink Next Door, based on a podcast, which is a great podcast, sidebar, or like a kind of true crime-ish podcast.
I love it.
And it was, you know, an illustrious cast, I will say. It was Paul Rudd and Will Ferrell and Katherine Hahn and myself and Lisa Rinna. Okay, so there's five co-stars. I won't say who Lisa Rinna played herself, but she comes to set and everyone knows, you know, my connection to her is so deep. It's so real.
Yeah, a river runs through it. Yeah.
That's right. And I co-starred with her on Hot Wives, which you wrote in a scene where we all threw water in each other's faces.
Yeah. And she was fantastic, may I say. She was a dream and fun and, you know, was lovely on set.
Now, you were the boss of that.
Yes, I was the boss. And don't you forget it.
I feel as an actor, we may have just had a slightly different experience.
Yeah. As the boss, I had a great experience, but I was, if you want to say, signing her checks at that moment.
You absolutely were. So now here I am again, several years later, back on set.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, go up to her, talk to her. She'll recognize you. She'll know you. She'll this, she'll that. Well, you know, when you just have an intuitive hit, I'm like, not only will she not know me, will she not recognize me? Does she not know about me? Like nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, was I in old age makeup? Yes. I had been aged and it took them 4 hours because they had to take so long to be able to do this.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, you're a baby. They had to really use special effects makeup.
I was in a platinum wig and I had been aged up to the age 68.
Wow.
But wow. I was still very hurt that she didn't recognize me.
Yeah, because you're still you. I would recognize Lisa Rinna at any age.
Thank you. And I had a mask on, you know, but still.
All right. It's getting harder.
I was like, wow.
It's getting a little harder.
Wow. So I did what anyone would do in that situation when you've tried to like wave and also it was glaring sun out. I don't think she saw me, but I was annoyed and frustrated. Uh-huh. So I took photos with her from afar.
As one does.
Where I just stood in the foreground and she stood in the background. Then I went up to her.
Okay, here we go.
I didn't get much more.
Really?
And what am I? Everyone's like, well, did you tell her who you are? I'm like, what, who am I? What am I supposed to say? So I just said, hi, welcome. So happy to have you here. She looked like a million fucking bucks.
Okay.
I know there's not much story here, but I just felt energetically it wasn't an open door, if that makes sense.
Well, I would say energetically, she's been a closed door to us on the show.
Mm.
I would say energetically, I think the door's going to close on her.
Ooh,
say goodbye, Yuna. I think this is her, you know, a friend of ours said
this.
Yes, Akilah said that she thought that this might be her last season.
And that people are calling for it. Are you saying, Danielle, that I filmed with her?
Her swan song.
After her last, yeah, her swan song. And by the way, everyone said she was amazing and lovely. But I think, you know, sometimes when we meet the housewives, I've only met like a handful of them.
Well, that's why I want to keep my interactions pure. And I don't want to meet them. People are like, why don't you have more of them on the show? And when we do, it always feels like we do every once in a very blue moon. But most of the time, I just want to keep it so pure because when I meet them, I can only be disappointed or feel bad or, you know what I mean? And it's like,
yeah.
I just want them to sometimes be characters in my shows, you know?
Yes.
My stories.
And look, you know how much I identify with Rinna as
you
like
did.
A hustler and
you
a working
did.
Actress. And I have nothing but respect for her, but I didn't. We weren't gal pal in the way I would have thought slash
like. I would have too. I would have thought it's like, we're in, you know, we're all playing this game, this housewives game. And we're all in on the joke that of the fun of these shows. And
you know what? Maybe it was good to be brought back down to earth, Danielle.
How so?
You know?
Fill me in.
Well, after the book's 15... You know, the magazine's most beautiful 40-year-old. It's like, actually, I was stripped down. I was stripped down. They're like, no, you're not going to give her that 40-year-old face. You're going to give her a 70-year-old face with platinum blonde hair and a mask and be angry when she doesn't recognize you.
You know, maybe this is the universe trying to give you your place.
Thank you, Danielle.
You know, it's saying,
that's right.
Hey, don't get too haughty. You're still 15. Whatever that means, it's a good, but it's 15.
It ain't one.
It ain't one. It ain't 10.
It ain't 4, 5, 6.
It ain't 14. It's 15.
And I don't want 13.
No. It's like an elevator. There is no 13.
That's right. Really, I'm 14.
Yeah. If you go to old buildings in New York, they don't have a 13th floor. It just goes right up to 14. And I always respected
that. There's nothing that makes me happier. It's like, finally, someone's in alignment with like my values and my spirituality. Yes.
Like full buildings being built out and saying like, just the elevator telling you, hey, guess what? We're all buying into this thing that the 13th floor is really the 14th floor.
And I'm like, that's right. There's no floor there.
There's no floor there.
The building is bifurcated. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that we all buy into this and we're all so fucked in the head that we're like, nope, no 13th floor. Doesn't exist.
No 13. There's no way there is.
Nope. Appreciate it.
Well, Danielle, the last thing is that I worked with another famous co-star.
Now, this is a biggie. This is a biggie.
Yes. Now, I can talk about it because our scene just aired 2 weeks ago on Black Monday. Mm-hmm. This is a gentleman, an actor. Mm-hmm. An actor.
Mm-hmm. A thespian.
A thespian. A chiseled, hard-bodied thespian
mm-hmm.
by the name of Sam Asghari. Now, you might be saying to yourself, if you're walking the dog or in the car or on the subway, I know that name.
Taking a dump.
You do and you don't, but here's why you do.
Mm-hmm.
He is, now he played my lover, and it's important to note that, mm-hmm. in a scene where Andrew Reynolds and I are now married. He is out of the closet. And in order to illustrate in the first episode of Black Monday how casual and great we are with each other, with the fact that Andrew's gay, but we're still married, I am doing Andrew's kind of fixing his tie, getting him ready for work while I am being fucked from behind by this actor. I'm a 40-year-old mom. Again, this has been quite a year, Danielle. My husband writes this fucking scene for me. Actually written by Daniel and Matthew Libman. I'm going to call you all out.
Oh, well, Daniel's been on the show as well. So
I'm going to say thanks. Thanks for seeing this 40-year-old gal and saying she needs a sex scene, a hardcore sex scene. So while I'm being taken from behind in many different positions, the actor playing my lover is Sam Mascari, who is Britney Spears' real life boyfriend.
So you were getting the Britney experience is what you were getting.
Hit me, baby. One more time. Sorry, that's terrible.
From behind. Hit me from behind one more time.
One more time. Or for the first time, really.
Now, how was he? May I ask?
You absolutely may. So he's lovely. Truly so nice.
That's not my question, though.
Oh.
My question is, how was he in the boudoir? I mean,
great. I mean, he's a male model. I mean, his body is insane.
Wow.
Truly. And I thought my husband would be like a little, it's an awkward scene to film at like 6 a.m. You know, I hear why people, you'd read that they like drink before. Andrew Reynolds said it was harder on him to watch.
Honesty. I love it.
You know, my thing when I found out he was cast was like, I am going to pretend to be an alien.
Okay.
I'm an alien that's just come to Earth. Okay. I don't know pop stars. I don't know where I am. I'm just here to, from fresh out of, Stella Adler to do my acting and do my method work. And I don't know anybody.
Yeah, you haven't been reading the news. You don't look at pictures.
I am like when Jared Leto came out of that cave 3 months into COVID. That's me. And didn't know we were in a global pandemic. Still feel like that story didn't get enough attention.
I know. And I would have loved to have been the first person he ran into. I really would have. I would have loved to have been the one who saw him coming out.
Me
of the
too.
And being like, what's going on?
You know, I will say, so of course, am I trying to be respectful because he's a really nice guy and he's just an actor coming to do his job and he's lovely and funny? Yes. But am I trying to just simply get a window into my favorite pop star? And I think a lot of ours, having we're fresh off the dock, you know, I mean.
Yeah, Britney Jean Spears. We want to know what's going on.
I wanted to know what's doing. You know, has Jamie let her watch Black Monday? I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think she's watching Black Monday is my question to you. Has she chimed in?
No. We haven't heard from her as of yet. But I think it's coming because I know she's proud of Sam and she should be proud of the work he did on me with that scene. He worked
is
me.
Is he promoting the show?
He's promoting like crazy. He had a great time. He had so much fun. He was so respectful. All to say, you know I can get anything out of anyone, Danielle. Yeah. I didn't get shit. And so I know you're like, well, why are you telling this story? I tried.
It's important to know that this is who we're dealing with. He is protective of her.
Yes. Honestly, I left and I'm like, wow, this is who I want for her. He's so nice. And yeah, he did her so right.
And did you so right.
One point we did have to do a call with an intimacy coordinator to like figure out the scene and on Zoom. And I'm like, this is it. I'm getting into the house. And he did it from the car. Smart.
He is.
Smart.
Wow.
He's a great actor and a great lover.
I would have just liked to look like around the house, you know, just to see the background.
Exactly. I'm not trying to take photos or anything. I just wanted my little peepers to see what they could peep, you know, but not for the taking. And I actually respect the hell out of it. And he was really, really, really sweet and fun. And, you know, Sam, I'd do it with you again anytime.
And your husband watching in the corner.
At the monitor with a fucking falafel. To the left, to the right. Casey, get your ass more in the air. It's upsetting. It's upsetting.
You guys have quite a relationship.
I've never seen someone so unimpressed and unenthused by a piece of an art form that he saw.
But I did hear, you know, I didn't hear him talk much about the scene, but I did hear him talk a lot about that falafel. He really thought it was good.
He said it was spicy, was hot.
Sexy even.
Oh, Danielle. And now to introduce our guest. She has a gorgeous name.
This is a guest of honor. Yeah. She does have a gorgeous name. You want to tell us what it is?
Casey. But she has a little more class on her name, which is Casey St. Ange. And yes. I'm obsessed with her name and her. And you're right, Danielle. She is a guest of honor.
No one knows the Housewives and Andy Cohen, may I say, better than this woman. She knows this universe and she is the woman. I think she's done a million things in her life.
And her career.
But when we're speaking of what should be written on our gravestone, you get 15 on yours, 15th on the bestseller list. Yeah. And Casey will get this. Well, she coined the phrase, guys, the OG of the OC. This was her gift to the universe.
And honestly, if first of all, I could never do that. But you're done. Like with work, like you may rest and let down your sword. Like you have done it. And it's such a gift to all of us. Okay, please welcome the absolutely hilarious writer. She was the co-executive producer of Watch What Happens Live. She is produced and was, I believe, the executive producer on Busy Tonight, which was wonderful. She's been a writer on Letterman, Rosie O'Donnell Show. She's absolutely lovely and a delight. Please welcome Casey St. Ange.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Hello.
Casey, hello. An honor.
I'm so honored. Thank you for having me on your wildly popular podcast that I've been listening to for years.
We were remiss, and I issued you an apology on Busy's podcast, but this is just one of those things where you're like, the one you love has been staring you in the face all this time.
Well, I always felt like when I was at Watch What Happens Live, I felt like it was
too close to the fire.
Yes, too close to it. Mm-hmm. And like, well, is there like a sense of impropriety or, you know, so I you know, I wanted to be very proper because, you know, very professional. As we know, the world of Housewives is very professional.
Incredibly professional.
Yeah.
Casey, can you tell us kind of how you got involved with Watch What Happens Live, the inception of the show, and kind of the whole concept, not only that, but just the special way the show came about and the way you guys orchestrated it to be this small audience and to just be live and fun and with drinks is so special. I'd just be curious, how did you kind of get involved?
Sure. I was at a show, which is kind of like my connection, I feel like, to you guys is, and how I know you guys is, I was at this show, Best Week Ever.
R.I.P.
And it was canceled, and I was very, very, very sad because I just loved that show. And I got a call from a friend of mine who was working at this production company saying, listen, this guy, Andy Cohen, he is an executive at Bravo. He has an after show that he does online, like on the web. It's an after show for Project Runway, and we're thinking of turning it into a TV show that's kind of like an after show based on the Housewives. Do you love the Housewives? And I was like, yes, I love the Housewives so much. And she was like, I feel like you're probably lying, but when they talk to you, say that you love the Housewives so much.
Absolutely.
And probably gonna, like, it'll be like a job for 7 weeks. You know, it's gonna be once a week for 7 weeks. We're gonna take this little 15-minute after show that's on the web and turn it into a TV show. And I was like, okay, this seems great. And so I came into work. I came into work on this show, and it was really just a team of four people, and we just were like, let's take this little weird after show chat show where Andy was already, I think he was having cocktails on that show and just interviewing the cast offs from Project Runway about, you know, the real tea about what happened on the set of Project Runway. And let's turn it into this show that mostly, you know, focuses on Housewives and what's happening on The Real Housewives. So the funny thing, and I sort of started to tell this story to you, Casey, when you were on our podcast, but I wanted to tell it here when I was with Danielle, is that there was like, Andy had a joke because everyone at the beginning of the show was always calling me the wrong name, calling me Cassie or Kathy or whatever, because that's just my lot in life to be called the wrong name. And so he was calling
that's how you identify.
Yeah, exactly. So he was calling me Taffy for a joke, because that's the most ridiculous wrong name that I could be called. And so he said, Taffy, you know, I know we've only been working together for a few weeks, but it honestly feels like a lot longer. Like, I feel like I've known you for a lot longer. And I was like, well, we have worked together two other times before. And he was like, oh, we have? When? Like, he was like genuinely like, oh, I'm so sorry. But that's like, knowing him, that's totally not, mm-hmm. not unexpected. And the times that we worked together before were, we had worked on a pilot for Joan Rivers, and he and I
dated.
He and I had worked together on a pilot where Danielle Schneider had been a talent. Yes. She had, Trio.
Yes, that network, it became part of Bravo. Yes. It got swallowed into Bravo, but it was called White Noise, the Pop Culture Roundup.
Yes.
Do you remember? And I hosted it with 80 Miles.
Yes.
Danielle, I don't know that you've ever spelled that out to us, that Andy was, in fact, your boss.
Oh, he was. I've known Andy. Like, I have known Andy for a while, but I was like, he was my boss, but I didn't have much interaction with him. But with the first time I went on Watch What Happens Live, which Casey made happen, Casey St. Ange, not Casey.
I was like, thank you.
No, is when we were doing Hot Wives, I was like, do you think that I could get on and be a bartender? I wouldn't have deigned that I could be a guest.
Like, you knew your place.
I knew my place. And I contacted you, Casey, and you were like, I'm going to see what I can do. Like, I'm going to make this happen. And so,
dream maker.
And then Andy and I know. And then I was so like, oh my God, this is the biggest thing that has ever happened to me. I had my own TV show and I was like, who cares about that? I get to watch Shaman's Life as a bartender. And so Casey made that happen. But Andy was like, do you remember? And then he said to me backstage, do you remember me? I was like, are you fucking kidding? I'll never forget you.
No, Casey, is that hard to hear that Andy did remember Danielle?
No.
I think that might be because she was the talent in front of the camera and you're watching, you know, the takes, you're watching everything back.
No, that makes me so happy. I mean, I probably interacted so little with Andy and he's so memorable. It never insults me at all because it's like my job to blend into the background.
I am never insulted when someone doesn't know my name or doesn't remember me because I'm just like, there's a lot of humans on this earth.
Yeah.
No, I'm insulted. I assume people don't know my name. I've reintroduced myself to you a million times. Like, I will always, I'm like, Casey Wilson, I'm Danielle Schneider. Like, I assume nobody knows who I am. Also, I believe that Casey, being the amazing executive producer she is, like, you know, in Devil Wears Prada, was like in Andy's ears being like, this is Danielle Schneider. You worked with her years ago. Like,
you cast her on Trio show.
There was no way he remembered. I think it was Casey who was in his ear, like, to everyone, and this is so important. This is so, like, that
this
was
Barack
what was
Obama. This is Khloe Kardashian.
Yes.
Casey, can you tell us who the first audience members were? Because I don't think we've ever told this story on Watch What Happens Live.
I sure can. When we first started Watch What Happens Live, there was zero audience because the studio was so small. And so it was just, our first episode was Danielle Staub and Andy Cohen.
Wow. Okay. I need to take that in for a second.
Just the two of them.
That was like, you were like, there's the headliner. I love that later we got to like Meryl Streep and Oprah, but we started with Danielle Staub, as all great endeavors do.
Danielle Staub. And there was no audience at first. And so it was just quiet. It was just Andy.
Well, and Danielle's so funny that probably felt weird.
Just Andy, whatever guest, befuddled camera operators, usually men. And we were still deciding, like, does the crew laugh? Does the crew know what to laugh at? Do I laugh? Am I leading? Like, because I was on the floor. And so our friend Paul Scheer got in touch and said, hey, listen, June Diane Raphael, my partner, and I, we love the Housewives and we're around tonight. I know you're at Watch What Happens Live. We would love to come by. If it's too much trouble, no big, but like, if we could just come by and like, just see, like, would it be a big deal if we could sit and watch a taping? That would be amazing. We would be so quiet as a mouse. We wouldn't make a sound. And so I said, like, I have a couple friends that are here. They said they'd be quiet as a mouse. And Andy was like, okay, you know, just have them like sit in a couple chairs next to you and no biggie, you know.
And that'll be that.
Yeah, he's pretty gregarious guy. And so they came in. And then, of course, Andy immediately recognized Paul Scheer because he was like, oh, I know this guy. He's on a lot of shows that I love. And then he just loved the energy. And he was like, you don't have to be quiet. You can laugh if you want to laugh. Please, like, enjoy yourselves. And so after that, he was like, I actually loved that. And I would like to start having people sit in the audience.
Wow.
As a friend of June and Paul's, I don't think I've given them that due in my heart. You know, Danielle, like we've given them the respect.
I knew it, but I know it.
Right. Now I know it.
And I feel like we need to all pay respect.
Yep. Pay our respect.
They changed the course. They changed the wind.
They changed television, yeah. Guys.
Yep. 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 Okay. Who are the best guests, housewives, worst guests?
The best out of the housewives?
Yeah.
I always really judged the housewives by, and this is probably wrong, and I'll tell you why it's probably wrong. I always judged the housewives by how they treated us, like the members of.
Yeah.
So Ramona's the worst. Ramona's the worst off the bat. We already know.
I'll tell you something so funny. One time, this is a true story about Ramona, is that like we had all gotten, maybe it was me individually or all of us had gotten like a tower of candy treats from Bravo, like as a gift. It was on my desk. That's what I know, is that the tower of candy treats was on my desk. And Ramona came in and she was like talking at us because she didn't necessarily like talk to us. Like she didn't know us like as like, again, as like friends or like, you know.
She doesn't see you as people. Anyone behind the scenes is not people.
Yeah, like she wouldn't.
They're just not.
She wouldn't know my name or whatever.
As Ebony criticized her, she thought you were the help.
Exactly. And so she just was like, oh, what's this? This is so cute. And we were like, oh, it's, you know, a tower of candy treats that we were sent. And she was like, oh my God, Avery loves these. And she just started like taking some of the candy treats and putting them in her purse. And we were like, okay, yeah, definitely like take those gummy
help
bears
yourself.
For sure.
Help yourself for Avery.
Avery. And she uses Avery as an excuse every time.
But I really like, I think the thing with me is that I really like tried to see them all as people and tried to really see.
We've never adapted that. Interesting.
I really tried to see the people that were in there, and which is weird. Does that sound? I sound like such a nerd.
See, I think that was a self-protective instinct in a way, and very generous of you, of course. But also, just like, how am I gonna deal with these women?
Yeah. So I definitely had my favorites, and I definitely always judged them on how they treated us when they came.
Can we hear one favorite?
Oh my gosh. I loved Phaedra from Atlanta. I'll tell you, anyone who knew my children's names, and they were always the most surprising. Vicky Gunvalson knew my kids and my kids' names. Phaedra knew my kids and my kids' names. Melissa Gorga knew my kids and my kids' names.
Okay, that I can see. Okay.
Caroline Manzo.
Yes, that tracks.
People that would come right to me and be like, how are the kids? How's eighth grade? What's happening? I know your son broke his wrist.
Oh, that's nice.
And then there were just like, there were always times when people, when Luann was dating Jacques, I adored Jacques with all of my heart. And when they broke up, really? I was truly heartbroken. Like I was actually like weirdly mad at Luann. And I wanted to be like, I'm not going to get to see Jacques anymore because of you. You know?
Right.
Like,
you did this to me. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you feel the same about Tom?
No, not at all.
And do you feel the same about Gunther?
No, I'm not feeling Gunther so much. I'll be curious to see like where that goes.
I'm not feeling Gunther.
Not that curious, but
what about his lamb risotto?
I don't like lamb. Even when my husband eats lamb, I won't kiss him for 24 hours after. So
he was like, I am making lamb. Okay, Casey, I think we need to pivot and jump directly into Housewives because we have so much to cover this week. And Danielle and I were off last week. I mean, there's just a lot.
Let's do it.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
And we're back. And we have to get into, just first and foremost, Beverly Hills. Mm. Because Casey and I, a little bit in our intro, talked about a star that has been born, and her name is Kathy Hilton. Or what should we say?
Not
reborn?
Lady Gaga. It's not Barbara Streisand. It's Lil Kathy Hilton.
I mean, what are your thoughts, Casey? Because she is a surprise. We all knew. We all thought we knew Kathy, Lil Kathy.
Yeah.
But we are, I would say she's a combination of a little bit of a ditz and also like a broad, like an old timey broad, yes, yeah. You know?
And her veneers play quite a role. in her look. She's got a Carrie Fisher voice. She's got a lot thrown in there.
She's very careless with products, and it it doesn't matter. There are no consequences for her.
No.
Mm-hmm. I feel like she's never read a direction in her life. Someone's always handing her a thing. She's never had to look online to define something, or like someone's always at the ready to, where are my eye drops?
She couldn't plug a fan in. She couldn't plug a fan in.
She doesn't know what a Red Bull is for, and it doesn't matter.
People just hand her things.
Guys, we had to email Andy because the scene of her, and I mean this, we have seen a lot of Housewives. I have said this many times, but for real, the scene of her in bed with Kyle, filmed by Sutton inexplicably, where Kyle is asleep and she is eating Lay's potato chips, reading three different actual newspapers, thumbing through them, and drinking a Red Bull at 2 a.m. was such a delight to me. Then she sleeps till 11, 2 p.m. actually, misses an activity, which I also love. She's like, I'm not going to go scootering on a railroad.
She doesn't, because she doesn't give a shit. And she also like, I don't care about, I'm not here for screen time. I'm here for a good time.
She doesn't give a fuck. Then when they come home, you're right. Everything's done for her. But when left up to her own devices, she has to report, I just put my eardrops in my eyes. It was amazing. She's stunning.
The world is her safety net. And she just, you know, it's going to be okay for Kathy.
It is.
You know, a wise person once said to me, I thought she was going to be, you know, as the older child, just the headstrong bitch. Instead, what I find is her in between Kim and Kyle as the like mess without the dark side.
Yeah.
Of Kim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When she mistook Kyle for Garcelle and she said, I thought you were Kyle. I thought you were Kyle.
And then they were like, how bad are your eyes? And she was like, pretty bad.
Yeah, she, no apologies. Like, she has no shame, but in a way that I appreciate where she's just like, why would I feel shame about any of this? Like, I'm just living my life. Like, she doesn't, there's no embarrassment.
None. And her t-shirts, which I really love all these t-shirts. She's never not with like a act nice or like life is for the living or just these t-shirts. Girls can do anything. So just not the look I was expecting with like a fur vest over it and sweatpants.
And coffee spilled on it.
Oh, coffee. I was just like, you got a stain on you. Like, it's just, it's that rich of a level where you don't give a shit. Like, she's not like these other Beverly Hills women so much as like, she doesn't give a shit, which is not like, Dorit has never not been giving 1,000% on every, like, Dorit is trying so hard she can't breathe. Yeah. But Kathy, she does. She is just like, she can't even wake up on time. Like, she's just like, whatever. I don't care. She's like, I can't hear you.
Rick, talk to Rick. Talk to Rick. I just love her.
And you know what I want to say is like, I'm not extremely wealthy, but I have spent a good amount of time around extreme wealth. And to me, that is what extreme wealth is. And that she rings very authentic to me as a very wealthy woman.
She's very genuine in her display of her wealth. To carry a box fan on a plane. Stunning.
Well, she's been wealthy for so much of her life, too, now. Because let's say she married Rick Hilton in her 20s. Let's say she's, what, in her 60s now? That's a long time being extremely wealthy. Yeah. Like, it's a shock. And she carries it beautifully. In the way that I want it to be carried. Like, no stress, no mess. Easy breezy, like she just is like, and she likes, like, I don't know if you know this, I like pranks. Like,
she loves pranks.
She did, she gave me really Joan Rivers vibes too. I wrote for Joan Rivers for years, and she gave me a lot of, she did give me a little Joan Rivers wealthy lady vibes. So,
oh, of course. One thing I am feeling retroactively is getting a glimpse into the fallout that happened between Kathy and Kyle. And the devastation, and we always knew it was really hurtful to Kyle, but to actually see them together, it seems very breezy, very fun, very light. It doesn't have the heaviness of a Kim, so I actually can imagine for them to not be talking must have been so difficult. I don't know, I just really felt the weight of that now that I see them together and I see who Kathy is. Like, she's fun. I don't want Kath out of my life.
I saw my sister and I in Kyle and Kathy.
And who are you? I think you're Kyle.
I'm Kyle, yeah, for sure. I'm a Kyle because I'm trying to make everything better and I'm a little neurotic and I'm running around and I don't want to get on a plane. Like, I'm Kyle. But just the dynamic of like, come sit over here. Like, she's worried her sister will be like alone in the thing, like taking care of her sister. Like, she's the caretaker in the family. You can tell.
Although Kathy seems quite fine to play her pranks with martinis.
Oh my gosh. It was refreshing to see fake alcoholism.
Yeah, yes. I didn't know it was fake. I fell for the prank.
Was like, we are in for a goddamn ride tonight back at the Tahoe Chalet, like with Kath, seven martinis in. Woo. Guys, I want to discuss Sutton. So,
yeah, I want to say the other end of the spectrum.
Yes. On my book tour, I did Garcelle's podcast. And one of the questions Garcelle had for me was, which of the Beverly Hills women do you think is most likely to be a Karen? And before she'd finished the N, I said Sutton. Now, Garcelle was like, oh, no. She kind of said right away. And then she didn't really answer. But her assistant, Taz, who, you know, co-hosts the podcast with her, we got pretty quickly to the fact that she was referring to Kyle. But I don't know that Garcelle necessarily, she hadn't seen that episode. Mm. Because I was like, I'm sorry, but I need vindication here. I mean, that was insane.
That was insane.
It was textbook Karenism.
Textbook white fragility.
Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to think it. And I'm going to make it about myself, too.
Yeah, she didn't let Crystal say one thing.
Even tears, white lady tears, Sauvignon Blanc.
I will not talk about it. I will not hear you. I will not hear what you have to say about your pain and your experience. I will not hear it. And that, not only that is, I've experienced my own pain and you will hear about my pain.
And what you're saying is also kind of rude.
Yes.
Not very nice.
And Luann kind of did a similar thing in New York, which is like the minute even race was approached, which I actually think Crystal was like, we were in the area, but we're pretty far from it. It was like, you know what? No. Oh, I'm not doing this with you. It's just, it was so like insane. I love Crystal.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, she's the most beautiful housewife I've ever seen.
She's tough. But fair.
I thought she was great. And I thought that I also liked that she was kind of like proud of her home and, you know, and proud of the wealth and proud of her pop star brother in ways that were very housewifey, you know, like she had many things about her that would make her the kind of housewife that you'd be eager to tune into. But then also is like, you know, talking about race with someone who's crying about, you're being mean to me and I'm not racist.
I just love the way she takes Sutton on. And she's like, you're a ridiculous human. And then when Sutton was saying that she kicked her in the car.
What? I was like, what?
And then Sutton goes, I have delicate legs.
My legs are very thin.
My legs are very thin.
What is that? That wasn't a humble brag. What is that? That's like a humble complaint.
I felt like she was like, I bruise easy. Like, it's just like,
I have bird bones. And she herself is so shatterable. Like anything happens, she shatters.
Literally
it's
fragile.
It's pathetic. I really hate her. And when she was like, I'm empowered and I'm ready to take on something new. And so I'm going to be building my own home. Like a multi-million dollar home is her idea of empowering herself that frankly she didn't pay for. And I know people can have feelings about that, but it made me a bit sick.
Yeah, it's not exactly like a bath bomb from Lush. It's not your run-of-the-mill self-care.
No. A bath bomb from Lush.
Which I have done for myself and been proud of myself for buying. But I will say that she is so self-serious and self-unaware that it's a deadly combination on these shows. You can't be both. You cannot take yourself so seriously and not have a sense of humor. And when they were doing that, you know, so first we have the stuff with Crystal, which is unbelievable. And then she was like, and I think you owe me an apology. Like, it was like, no, you don't. Like, nobody owes you an apology. Like,
she's such a baby. She's like, your words aren't very nice. You hurt me.
Yeah,
you're very
rude. That was rude. And I feel like that's a class thing and also a race thing when someone is not doing what you want them to do or treating you how you feel you just want to be treated, that to say it's a fault in their personality as opposed to we are disagreeing or we're not communicating well, you're just being rude. So it's like, well, no, it makes you defensive. And I feel like that is actually a classist and racist thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, we've been having obviously like this big worldwide conversation about race that's been ongoing and about white women, like maybe shutting up for a couple minutes and listening, like, and so to have Sutton shut her down and deny what her lived experience is in that moment was really difficult to listen to. I know Sutton has subsequently apologized via Instagram, and was it via Instagram, I believe.
I believe so. What I saw. Yeah.
Well, we're all. Good apologies go. All sincere ones.
The best of the best.
And it was making me very frustrated because there was nobody there to sort of run interference for Crystal to
No,
be
because Kyle was just like, I know that what Kyle was so eager to jump in and go, that wasn't her intention.
Right.
And what these women don't understand, whether they haven't like picked up yet on, is that well, it's not about necessarily your fucking intentions. Like Kyle was so quick to get in there because that wasn't her intention with Garcelle. When Kyle made a very stunning subject change after Garcelle like told her all that, she was like, I gained 10 pounds during the pandemic. Oh, Kyle.
Oh, Kyle. Never.
Like Kyle was like, it's
you,
very
Kyle.
Been very hard for me. I laid up all night awake thinking about what Garcelle said to me.
It's like, you should. Well, it's good that you're up thinking about it all night. It doesn't feel good because you're losing sleep over it, but we should be losing sleep over this right
yeah.
now. We should be concerned and saying, okay, I'm not who I thought I was. I have to take a look in the mirror and see it. Like, and so guess what? We also need to be saying to ourselves, hey, that it's not a bad thing. It doesn't feel great, but sometimes feeling bad is the way to change, you know? So, but
I did like when Kyle slammed Sutton in a 1-2 punch, Sutton said, I'm a grown woman. And Kyle said, then act like one.
She
like,
okay. did.
Oh, I
and
loved
she, like,
that.
Didn't she grab her arms?
Yes. She was like, pull yourself together. Like, you're not in reality. Like, that was just so insane what was happening with Sutton. Guys, I hate Lisa Rinna on the show.
I do too.
I'm ready for her to go.
Me too.
It's
guys.
Just, it's.
I'm done.
Yeah, she's not moving with the times. She's not moving with the, she's not going anywhere. She's still the Lisa Rinna of times of yore. What's happening? Mm-hmm.
Here's what I don't understand. I want to hear from you guys. Like, I'm really struggling with this. Is this her, the person that was so nasty to Denise, you know, or is that her perception of who she should be on the show? And now she's realizing it didn't work out very well. Or are we finally really seeing the real Lisa Rinna?
That's a good question. What do you think, Casey?
I don't know. I feel like it's just kind of, yeah, I feel like I feel like it's kind of calculated because, yes, you obviously, if you behave in such a way, whether you're being honest about your feelings and you say something that's untoward and gets people upset, whether that's honest or you just are like popping off and saying something like a little salty or whatever, and people react in a certain way. And then you sort of shut down and tamp it down or whatever. But then it's not very entertaining to watch, you know, but there's a million things I want to know about Lisa Rinna. Like I find her inherently interesting and fascinating as a person, but she's just not giving us anything.
She's not open enough.
Yeah.
She always says she's an open book. She's always like, own it. But I don't think she owns it. Mm-mm. She's never been more closed. She's never been more produced.
Yeah.
She's doing the producing, you know what I mean? So she's not very fun to watch. I don't have to like her to want to watch her, but I'm not having fun watching her.
Yeah.
Me neither.
And it's like, I feel for her because I don't know her life. Like this could be a function of like her family doesn't want her talking about family stuff or, you know, whatever's happening in her career. She doesn't feel like she should be talking.
Yeah, she's treating this like an acting job as opposed to a reality job.
Yeah. And so, you know, who knows? But then I think you have to take a look at it and be like, well, this isn't like a very effective vehicle for like what is happening in my life right now. So I kind of have to walk away. From
it. Like, where's our opening up about Scott Disick? They claim that's coming, but I need it.
Yeah.
I think we should move on to New York, guys. But I just want to leave us with Kathy Hilton's two truths and a lie. In which she simply gave us three truths that we'd all heard many times.
Oh, God. Listen, she doesn't need to follow the rules.
She doesn't need to lie.
She never has to listen to them. She didn't even listen. She's just like, I heard truths and lies. I'm just going to tell some stuff. Like, she has never followed her. I bet she's never wased a place. Like, she doesn't know how to find a place. Someone has it printed out for her on a hard copy. Yeah.
I thought you were Kyle.
I just love her.
Another truth.
Another truth is that I thought you were Kyle. Should we take a break? Come back with New York.
Yes, please.
We're back.
New York. Now, here's something I want to ask. And I'm truly asking, and I'm not judging. So please know that.
Did Garth have herpes? Yes.
That wasn't the question, but
check out the close-up. Yes.
Oh, no.
Go ahead. Oh, continue with your question.
One's a little less important, but Leah, her grandmother is dying. It's very upsetting. Why is she in the, if she is wants to be with her grandmother, go be with your grandmother. Is there a reason? Like, and am I missing something? Because I just feel like if she's like moments from death, have you been like, have you already said your goodbye? But it's just, like, what is the problem here? You know what I mean? It's just a question. But no judgment. I think
she can't bear to miss the taping in the show. I think she was doing a calculation of like, I've said goodbye. I think Leah's in a pretty dark place. I think perhaps, I don't know. But she's gotten sober, and I think a ton of anger is coming up for her. And she's obviously in a terrible space, you know, with her grandma. But I'm turning on Leah. I don't need your vows of silence. She's so angry. Like, I did a bit feel like when she walked in, Ramona was just like, just give us 1 second. And she went so nuts. I'm just kind of like, and call me an old lady, guys. I don't need to hear over lunch about someone eating someone else's ass. I'm sorry. I don't, and I won't.
Well, the problem with Leah is that Ramona is Ramona, and she is a hypocrite. And so she never, like, thinks it's funny. Like, she's so angered by Ramona, where I am just like, I want her to be like, you're such a hypocrite, like, and stay in the room and not be angry. But she doesn't maybe have the energy to do that right now because her grandmother is so sick. But I just want her to, like, it's just like, yeah, the walk out and the vow of silence, like, it's so personal to her. And it's just like, you know, chill.
I just felt that was so dramatic and didn't work comedically.
Also, Ramona is a hypocrite. But in that instance, Ramona wasn't being a hypocrite. When you're having a private conversation, you are allowed to say, hey, this is a private conversation. When you're talking about a tablescape, that's not a private conversation. So those are two different types of conversations. And therefore, it's not hypocritical to welcome someone into that type of conversation when you asked for privacy a second before. And so to pretend like you couldn't understand the difference between the two and never be able to just parse out the difference between that. And if you're having a bad time because your grandma's dying, then okay, like, I understand that. But then you need to, yeah, maybe like separate yourself off from the group and go
maybe
to her.
Go home.
Yeah, go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that tablescape was so upsetting. It really reminded me of all of Lisa Vanderpump's restaurants, particularly Pomp, the outdoor with just crystals and pearls and shit.
But it's all from like Joanne's fabric. Yeah. That's the funniest thing to me. It was like, it's fine, do your fancy tablescape, but like, it looks cheap. So it just looked like everything just looks like it was just thrown together in 5 seconds by like a 14-year-old.
The feathers. I hate Heather Thompson. Why is she here? Why won't she go? Why is she here? Is she a friend of? Why did they bring her back of everyone they could have brought back?
I guess just because of all the inflammatory things that she's been saying on that podcast, so that they could stir all that up before she came back.
Right. You're talking like a producer now. Okay, I get it.
Yes, you know. Okay.
You know what? She didn't say holla, so I was happy about that. She's over holla.
That made me laugh when Leah's like, she's going to be like, hi, mama.
But you know what she didn't do, and nobody did, and I was frustrated, was nobody came to Ebony's side. You know what I mean? Everyone was trying to defuse the situation. But Sonia, who did say, like, I don't think she was angry. I think she was just talking.
Well, I was going to say that Sonia filled that white lady buffer role that I desperately was hoping for in Beverly Hills, that I desperately wished that
Kyle could have done
or that had happened between that private conversation between Sutton and Crystal. You know, like Sonia was doing what you're supposed to do, which is just being quiet and being measured and saying, like, you know, like she's not yelling. She's not angry. What she's saying is factual. Can we just listen? Can we just let her speak? That's what you're supposed to do in that situation.
But that's not what Heather did. No. Heather was like, okay, everybody, like, and I was like, Heather, you're supposed to be like, you know, all woke and you're a person of the city and, you know, you're cooler and younger than these people. And I didn't see her doing that at all.
Considering who Heather's worked with in the past and, yes, she, you know, like who she's done business with, you would think that Heather would have had something maybe to say, but
no.
But that whole thing was such an example of racism in the sense of people have been yelling at Luann since the dawn of time, since the dawn of this show.
Sonia literally yelled at her in the car, like not 4 hours earlier, was screaming in her face. I mean, wild.
If you remember Bethany screamed at her, "You fuck everyone!" Like, screamed in her face, and Luann was like, "All right." But, you know, like, I gotta get a cigarette. Like, Bethany, I've never heard someone be as cruel to another person as Bethany was to Luann.
Yeah.
Never in my life. Screaming in her fucking face. Luann said nothing. Or she was like, "Well, you're a jerk too." You know what I mean? Yeah. But with Ebony, she was like, "You're so angry. You're an angry person." Like, I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." I've never, like, it felt wrong. And it felt...
it was rough. And also Ramona blocking her ears, saying, like, you're hurting my ears with your yelling. And then 2 seconds later, Ramona was screaming. And, you know, so it was very rough. And, you know, I'm very allergic to hypocrisy. So it was rough to watch. And it was also rough. Like, Sonia was going through something in that episode, clearly. Like, we had really seen. And so to have her emerge as the voice of hungover reason at that luncheon was woo.
I mean, after Sonia had just recently slurred, and I quote, "I have family, I have friends, and I have a solid financial future."
That was the craziest line we've heard in Housewives ever.
For Sonia Morgan to say that.
It sounded like an affirmation someone had told her to repeat to herself.
Yes. She's been just saying that. You're right. I also found it very rough the amount of times Luann was calling Ebony girlfriend.
Yes, I wrote that down too.
I was like, please stop. Make it stop.
I know she said that in the past, so I don't want to say this is something that I've never heard her say girlfriend in the past, but it was a lot and it became almost like a tick and I just needed her to stop.
Yeah, I know.
Because, like, once you start to notice it, and then it starts to make my palms sweaty, and I was just like, oh, my God, please.
Yeah.
Another thing that was hard to hear out of Luann's mouth was just, like, a hearkening back to another time when she said, when she was texting Gunther, or whatever his name was. What was his name again?
Garth.
When she said, "Did you get the lamb or are you doing chicken?" And it really harkened back to why.
How could you do this to me?
You know who I thought blew through the episode like a nice breeze, a gentle breeze, was Luann's niece.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And Victoria, to beautifully set up that strange painting experience with that well-hung man, who I was very attracted to.
Half stripper, though, because he was like, "I can't get this towel off by myself." Like, usually when someone's doing an artist thing, they don't say, "I can't get this towel off by myself. I'm going to need some help."
Like, he knew where his bread was buttered. He knew.
Yes. And when Ramona, it did kill me when she was like, "I'm done painting. I'm just going to sit and take in the view." And then when Ramona was sensually dancing.
When she was like, "I'm very moved by your music."
And shaking her titties next to Leah, who had just... she was like, "I don't like this talk." Oh, it was so good. I also love when Sonia just said so simply, I'm not into artists. I'm into bankers.
Oh, that was a beautiful sentence.
It's like, we know you're into bankers, sweetie. We know you're into bankers.
We know.
Well, and then she also said, I'm an artist. Like, what is her art? What is Sonia Morgan's art? I would just like to know. Just her art is living. Is her life an art installation?
It's performance art.
Yeah, remember her performance art?
I do now. I do. I had forgotten. But.
God, I'd like to go back and just do the text on those. That
Cabaret-esque.
Yes.
Cabaret-esque.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to say that I love Ebony's mother. We got her on, and we found out that she said, I would rather you decide to kill Mama than me, when her grandmother is also very sick and she wants Ebony to pull the plug as opposed to her.
And that's just a conversation we all have to have. Who's going to do it?
I loved that. I just loved the sense of humor in you know, just the gallows humor of that really touched me. And I just enjoyed their relationship. And they better be taking care of my daughter. Like, just that love that I don't know that the other women have gotten in their lives.
Yeah. I would like to say that, listen, we're talking about this. I don't have any hatred for Luann. In fact, there have been times when I have quite liked Luann. I find her entertaining.
Oh, me too. Oh, sure.
Ramona, I have found quite entertaining. Talking about phrases I've coined, I also coined the term Ramotional, and I also coined the term Ramonia when they were best friends.
No!
Not to brag.
Are you behind Ramona Coaster?
No, that was Bethany. Bethany invented
That's
Ramona
right.
Coaster. But
I
anyway.
Feel like it was inspired off of your
Ramotional Ramona Coaster,
wow.
Maybe.
But I think that was inspired by you. Go on. I'm going to give you credit for that.
Yes, I feel like we couldn't have gotten to Ramona Coaster without Ramotion.
Yes, you built the bridge. She walked across.
But these are women that in a lot of times we have quite liked. And that is the whole point of this, is that even women we quite like fall into these really common pitfalls of doing this dumb shit, of not listening to women of color when they're just trying to make really simple points about things that happen to them every day and microaggressions that happen to them every day. And we get aggressive all the while calling them aggressive. And it's just very painful to watch it from an outside
yes.
vantage point.
And it's not easy to come into that group of women as the one woman of color. Like, it's not easy. It's not easy for anyone to enter that group of
right,
women.
Right. And meanwhile, I'm sitting on my bed watching it with my popcorn, remembering that, you know, Luann had an altercation with police officers. So if we're calling people mm-hmm. aggressive and angry, then, you know, she has a history of being aggressive and angry at times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, she attacked a police officer.
So, you know.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, you're yeah. right. It did really make me laugh when Ebony and Ramona were simply texting in the limo as Luann and Sonia screamed at each other and then frantically made up crying. It was just, what an image. What an image.
Poor, I do think about Ebony in many ways of like coming into this group of hysterical women. Like just the screaming in the applause. She's like, I've never seen anything like this. Like this is a
You know
shocking.
That phrase, if it's hysterical, it's historical. With them, it's the opposite. If it's like, if it's hysterical, it's like this morning. Like they, it's just all so hysterical.
And there's also like no memory of it. Like they're willing to forgive and forget in a way that is.
But I think that's what we love about our housewives is that they are able to restart in a way that perhaps only more shallow people are. I don't know. And I'm not trying to say that blanketly about them, but maybe it's just they know how the show works and they want to do it. But I do love that about the housewives. They are saying the cruelest things to each other. And 2 seconds later, they're like, but we always have fun.
I know. And they all, and then it's like, I love you, you idiot. It's like, what?
It's like, I just wanted to spend more time with you, you crazy nut.
It's like, you said the meanest things. Like, I would never be able to forgive anyone. And you're just like, yeah, I love you.
Well,
yeah.
Like on Jersey, and we have to wrap up, but yes. just quickly, when Teresa mm-hmm. and Jackie have the world's most awkward makeup, where Andy's like, is there a future here? After things that have been said and done that are unconscionable. And then Teresa goes, yeah, I think, Louie, we'd like to take you out. It's just like, okay. And Evan was like, that sounds fun. We're looking forward to that.
an entire season of trying to explain to Teresa what an analogy is.
And we never got
She'll
there.
She'll never get it. She doesn't want to get it. She is a person that does not want to understand anything that goes against her way of thinking. I've never seen someone with such nothing behind the eyes. Just nothing.
Now, I know it didn't seem as pointed as in other years, but to me, Melissa Gorga hates Teresa more than ever, and they are in actually their worst spot, but it's almost so dark it's being tamped down and hidden. That's what I'm getting. Like, now they're both friends with different factions, and they might not be like fighting as openly and awkwardly, but every time they cut to Melissa Gorga or Teresa when the other one was talking, it was with pure disdain. And when Teresa said, yeah, Melissa has changed. And then she was like, yeah, Melissa never let Joe do anything in the beginning. I was like, oh, wow, this is dark.
How long have Melissa and Joe been married?
I think a long time.
A long time. Like,
I want to say 15 or 16. How old is Antonia? Like about 15 or 16 years.
16 years. Yeah. I just wonder, because like, don't we go through that? Like at that point in the marriage where you know, like, the marriage is solid and like you're in it, like you're going to stay in it, but something's got to change. Like, yep. You know, and like, I think what has to change for Melissa with regard to Joe is so tied to Teresa. And I feel you on that. I think it's just like, yeah, I agree. I think that there's a lot of hostility there, and I'll be very interested whether Joe can make the changes that Melissa is going to need to hang in there with him.
No.
Jen was fucking making me so sick. I love Jen, and then alternately she drives me fucking nuts, but it did sort of make me laugh when she came back at Marge so quick out of the gate. Marge said something about family, and she goes, you wouldn't know family if it pulled on your pigtails. That got me. That got
I
me.
I do she love can be funny. Some Jen. And I thought you and I felt differently about this, Casey, but I thought Marge has never looked better.
Holy.
I thought she looked fantastic at the reunion.
Marge is a beautiful woman. Don't get me wrong. I believe that.
No, but I thought, but her face is settled.
They're all just getting so much done, and I'm really not judging. I just want to say, like, you guys are beautiful.
My favorite character in all of the Housewives is Marge's sofa. That is the best looking.
How so?
The
best. That's a hard working lady.
Yeah, that sofa is the best thing on TV. In fact, in my opinion, I love that sofa so much.
Marge's sofa. It could also use a little work, you know.
It could use a little update, a little refresh. But I just feel like in order to hold up to that sofa to like shine, you would have to get like a little work done.
Okay. And I will say, you know how much I love Dolores. It just made me a little sad. Again, I will get things done and you will not recognize me. So I am someone that embraces all of the changes anyone wants to make, truly. But I guess I did just feel, just on this last one, like a little bit sad of like, oh, Dolores is just doing so much when she's so clearly like the most beautiful woman that's ever walked the earth.
Well, she got her nethers. She got her nethers.
I just, I'm so confused because like, I mean, I'll be the first person to like admit like this is stretched out, that is stretched out. But like, what is happening to people's vaginas that they like have to get them taken in?
Like anything that has wear and tear over time.
Yeah, you need a little update, a little refresh. And I will be refreshing things.
Yeah.
So know that.
Yeah.
Know that. Oh, yeah. Know that.
I mean, I'm comfortable where my vagina is at right now, but 10 years from now,
who knows
where she'll be.
We can't be the arbiter, you know. Anything else, guys, on Jersey? It just felt a little more of the same. I'm attracted to Louis. Anything else? When he came on chewing gum,
you know what? I love.
I know it's not like the Kennedy Center honors, but
you know what?
It was a bold move.
I love when people chew gum. Isn't that gross?
on TV.
I am a huge.
Is it like they don't give a fuck?
If you listen to the podcast, of which I am a co-host, Busy Phillips is doing her best. I'm a huge Prince fan. One of the things that I love the most about Prince is clips of him chewing gum. I just love when all people chew gum. It's so gross, but I just love it. I don't know why.
Interesting.
I don't know why. So yeah. I was.
No, it feels very casual and competent.
Yeah. I always just, yeah. I feel like it's very humanizing. I always feel like it's a mistake that people forgot to spit it out. And if they knew, or they like don't know any better. I don't know. Yeah. I love it. I feel like their moms are watching and like horrified.
You're thinking of the ripple effects.
Yeah.
From that one action.
Yeah.
Well, New Jersey is done. We've put it in the books. We shall see what happens next year. But meanwhile, please, everyone, check out Jen Shaw's GoFundMe that someone started and people were revolting over.
I think it's been taken down.
One donation at present, $250 of the $250,000 ask.
Wow.
That's a lot.
How
$250? Someone gave $250.
How dare she? Guys, it's been a pleasure.
What a dream to have you at the beginning of my career and at the end of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Danielle at the middle. And everybody watch Danielle. We didn't even get to talk about this on Hacks. Starring Jean Smart. Hacks.
It makes me so happy to see you on Hacks. It's such a good show. I was a little worried to watch it, to be honest, because I was like, it has Joan Rivers vibes and it's going to make me so sad and cry my eyes out. But because it's like similar to our relationship a little bit, except for Joan and I loved each other.
You know what? I thought of you and I was watching it because I was like, this is her story. You know what I mean? Like it is this.
Yeah.
A hustler and abroad. And Jean Smart deserves every single Emmy. And Danielle was offered this part. And you are playing, if I may say, a bit of a Housewives-esque role.
Yes, that's what I was told.
Very meta.
And it's so good. The creators are incredible. And Jean Smart, I will just leave you this one thing, which is that she is as wonderful and lovely in person as you want her to be.
That makes me so happy.
Love.
And we've all worked with great co-stars is what we get from this, Danielle. Sam Scari.
Yes,
Lisa,
you and Rinna. And
Jean Smart. Also, we need to get into Mayor of Easttown and the Friends reunion next week, Danielle, because I have a lot of thoughts.
Thoughts on both.
Friends reunion takes you on a ride, the likes of which.
Thoughts on both.
Casey St. Ange, thank you so much. You have a podcast, the aforementioned Busy Phillips is doing her best, which is just so much fun and delightful. And I love you have such great guests.
Thank you so much, Danielle. You have to come on.
I would love to. I've just been waiting for this moment. I didn't want to say anything. But I would love.
We would love for you to come on and maybe guest co-host with us. You can be a guest if you want, but we would love to have you guest co-host.
I'll take it any way, which way but loose.
Wow. No more bartender for you, Danielle. You're in the fucking first chair next to Andy.
Woo! I love you, Casey. I'm so happy that to know you and to have you on the podcast. You're a bright light.
Yes. And Casey, where can we find you on the old ye olde in social media?
You know, I'm just on Instagram at Instacase, not verified, just regular.
Huh? You don't need a blue check mark to know you're a star.
And I'm on Twitter. My name is not spelled like Casey's, which is the normal way to spell it. My name is spelled very strangely, but I'm at Casey, C-A-I-S-S-I-E. And that's where I hang out when I should be doing other things.
Right.
You know, but that's where you can find me.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you to Renee,
and Kim and Earwolf in July. And thank you so much, Danielle. So nice to see you and see you in Hacks. I'm so proud of you.
And guess what? Thank you, Casey St. Ange.
Okay. Here we go.
Wow.
Yeah. Goodbye, everyone. Again,
goodbye.
Thank you. Get tickets to our live show June 24th, 5:30 and 8:30. Bye. The new redesigned 2021 Chrysler Pacifica has a refreshed interior and exterior, much like many of our housewives, more cargo capacity than full-sized SUVs and crossovers, wireless Apple CarPlay and phone charging, and the most standard safety features of any vehicle, like forward collision warning, lane departure warning, and blind spot monitoring. It's now available with all-wheel drive capability.
and it is the most advanced all-wheel drive system in its class. The 2021 Chrysler Pacifica is America's only plug-in hybrid that allows for 32 electric miles, 520 miles total driving, and also qualifies for a $7,500 federal tax credit. The new Pinnacle model interior includes quilted leather seats and second row pillows. I think you all know, as a basically self-appointed ambassador for Chrysler, I am obsessed with this minivan. Again, I've said it before, it's a Mercedes of minivans, and I don't know that they like me to bring up other cars when I talk about it, but it's incredible. I love this minivan. I never thought I would like a minivan. Chrysler's offering our listeners an exclusive $1,000 bonus cash offer towards a new Chrysler Pacifica or Pacifica Hybrid. Visit PacificaSesh.com and sign up to receive this offer, updates, and more from the Chrysler brand.